Next item on the agenda is Dwight Schaubach, 091478.
There's something completely different.
Looks like it.
This one has a little history, so bear with me. To fully understand the whole project, I've got to kind of cover everything that's happened related to this pier since it was originally constructed. We are currently processing an after-the-fact request to retain previously constructed pier at Mr. Schaubach's property, which is at 8354 Crittenden Road in the city of Suffolk in the Nansen River. The existing pier consists of a 7-foot wide stem by 160-foot long open pile pier, includes a 29-foot wide T-head, 2 6-foot wide by 40-foot long finger piers that create a boat slip. The total square footage of the T-head and associated fingers is 6-foot wide. 5-foot wide is the maximum that's authorized in the current code for the permit exemption. Total is 1,035 square feet. So that 0.75 is based on the applicant's calculations, so I put it in there. The project is located along the Nansen River, basically in this mixed cove area. This is the property right here. This is the Nansen River Bridge. If you're familiar with the area, there's a Knicks clubhouse is out in this area, and the Ballard clubhouses, which were just reconstructed, are in this area. This is heading back towards Olive White, and this is heading towards a portion of the Chesapeake. Now for the history of the project. This is a residential area, by the way, and there are numerous other piers in the area. Mr. Schaubach owns a considerable amount of shoreline, which apparently includes several platted lots. The existing pier, however, is the only pier on his property, of any of the properties. We did receive the application in October 13th of 2009, which originally requested authorization to install a replacement boathouse roof of 24 by 46 feet at the applicant's existing private pier. He also requested authorization to install 2 floating dock units measuring 8 by 24 feet and 6 by 48 feet respectively, which would effectively create a second boat slip at the pier. During a site visit to evaluate the request, it was noted that the floating dock sections had already been installed and that the existing T-head of the pier exceeded the current 400 square feet that's allowed by the code without a permit. Also, that the main stem of the pier was 7 foot wide, which is wider than the 6 foot that's normally allowed. Staff informed the applicant's representative during that meeting that since the existing pier deck appeared to already exceed 400 square feet, installation of the floating dock constituted a violation of the Code of Virginia. We further noted that no boathouse roof had ever been previously authorized at the site, and that the current boathouse roof request exceeded 700 square feet and therefore was also not authorized by statute as provided by the code. The applicant's representative indicated he believed the fixed pier had originally been constructed in the same dimensions as it now existed. As such, staff agreed to research previous applications to determine what was actually previously authorized. The applicant's representative also agreed to have the floating dock removed pending resolution of the other issues, and that was done within a matter of days. The original application to construct a pier at this location was received in 1995. The drawings received with that application reflected a 6 foot wide by 373 foot long open pile private pier, extending approximately 180 feet channel with a mean of water, with a 6 foot by 45 foot T-head and associated pilings channel with a T-head. This is the drawing from the original application in 1995. No roof structure was requested or depicted in these drawings. This is a blow up of the end of the pier because this is germane to when we look at what's there now. This is what was requested and authorized as a no permit necessary in 1995. 6 foot wide stem, 6 foot wide by 45 foot T head with some associated mooring piles for a boat slip, for boat mooring. Staff has attempted to work with the applicant to address these outstanding issues of the current size of the pier. The applicant has indicated that the pier is used by multiple family members with at least two separate residences along the shoreline. You can see in this photograph, here and here. This is a garage that has numerous vehicles in it, but these are the primary two houses that this serves at the site. Staff indicated that should the applicant provide additional information verifying the existence of individual platted parcels at this location and the desire to use this pier as the single access point for those residences, the pier could be considered a community use structure or multi-user structure, provided the applicant would agree to forego construction of any additional private piers on the remaining waterfront parcels. It's sort of the same approach we take with community piers in a subdivision. Or if they're willing to build one community pier, they proffer not to build private piers on the other existing waterfront lots. The applicant did agree to consider this, but later decided not to pursue this option. Therefore, staff felt that the only option then was to consider that no action would be taken on the boathouse request or the floating dock until we could resolve the current pier, which appeared to exceed any previous authorization that had been granted. Since 28.2.1203 of the code only allows for pier decks up to 400 square feet without a permit, staff considers the 1,034 square foot T head and associated 6 foot wide catwalk piers to be in to violation of since the current configuration was never properly authorized by the commission. As such, the applicant was requested to consider a reduction of the size of the pier to bring it back into compliance. The applicant's contractor, however, has determined that the currently constructed pier cannot be safely altered without basically complete removal and reinstallation. Mr. Shawback therefore continues to seek approval of this current structure. He has maintained that the pier as it currently exists is in the same dimensions as originally constructed in 1995, and at that time there were no size restrictions for decks within the Code of Virginia for private piers. Additionally, he has given some additional information that he uses a gator-type vehicle to access the pier, which requires a main wide stem of the pier and an adequate turning area at the T-head. He indicates the vehicle is necessary for use of a physically handicapped family member that cannot walk the considerable distance down the slope of the house where the pier is and out onto the pier safely. He's also indicated that he owns a large boat 13.5 feet by 44 feet that requires a large slip. There is an oyster ground lease just channel wood at the end of the structure, but it is not impacted by the current construction. No agencies have commented on the project. We did originally advertise the project for what he requested, boathouse roof and the floating dock. We are not addressing that issue at all today. We are treating this just to try to get the pier authorized as it exists. We re-advertised that specifically and we have not received any objections, and the adjoining property owners do not object. This is the far back as we have photographs. This is a 2002 photo, which does appear to show the pier in the basic configuration of the 1995 application, but it does have what appears to be a pretty large T-head on it. It's covered some, and it has a boathouse roof. No boathouse roof was ever authorized here. The boathouse roof is gone. It was damaged a couple of different times. This is a 2007 photograph. As you can see, there's been a slight change in the upland alignment. It had a bend in it before on the upland. But basically, it's in the same location. Again, it appears to be basically the same configuration as 2002. This is the current pier. Oh, and by the way, it's very difficult to tell in these aerial photographs whether this is 6 or 7 feet wide, the main stem. I mean, you really can't get that kind of resolution on those photographs. But it's hard to say. It could have been 7 feet originally when it was built. We did receive an application after Isabel under the governor's executive order to repair this pier. It was severely damaged. We did grant authorization, but that authorization was granted on any previously authorized structure, which at the time was the 1995 application was all we had to go on.
So it was rebuilt then. It was damaged again in Norida. I think the boat was actually in the slip, and it went up and pushed the roof, damaged the roof considerably, damaged the boat as well, which was the result of why they were applying in 2009 to reconstruct the boathouse and repair the pier. And of course, they were asking for the floating dock in addition. This is basically what's there now. This is how it exists now. You can see this is kind of an odd shape, but the applicant did provide a drawing, and these are the dimensions that add up to the 1,035 square feet in detail. There's a lot of little triangles in here that you have to add all up, but that's what these are. It includes the 6 foot wide finger piers because 5 foot's the maximum. But basically, we're talking about this entire structure that makes up this square footage. This is the slip. This is the boat that Mr. Shawback owns, which is at a different location now. Here's a ground shot, what currently exists. By the way, the floating docks were installed here in the booth. You can see the tracks of the Gator vehicle he drives out. And this is the size of the structure. He does need a fairly long fingers piers for the size boat he has. Again, this is the vehicle, well, it has a number of these, but this is one of the vehicles that they use to drive it onto the pier. So our summary and recommendation. Staff cannot determine with certainty when the current configuration of the pier was actually constructed, but can determine that a similarly sized structure with the same configuration has existed at the site at least since 2002 based on aerial photography. However, the current configuration certainly does not match the original request in 1995, and is considerably larger than the initial application drawings depicted at that time. Any subsequent authorizations related to storm damage and executive orders promulgated by the governor of Virginia were based on reconstruction of previously authorized footprints. In this case, it appears that clear that the applicant is aware of the necessity to apply for construction permits over state-owned land since 1995 we received an application. We received another application after Hurricane Isabel under the governor's executive order. However, we are not certain that the applicant was fully aware of changes to the code related to size of private piers that were instituted after 1995. While staff would unlikely be able to support the current pier width and deck size for new construction, the applicant has maintained he only reconstructed the pier as it existed after 1995 as originally constructed, before it was destroyed by Hurricane Isabel. As such, considering there has been no protest of this structure, and considering the applicant's access needs, staff does not recommend the structure be removed and that it be authorized as it now exists. Should the commission deem a civil charge is warranted, staff would recommend it be based upon minimal environmental impact and a minor degree of non-compliance in light of the changes to the code and the existence of how long the structures existed. If the applicant still seeks to add additional floating platforms and a roof over the boat slip, we would suggest he submit a new application with the proper water-dependent justification, for which the project will then be subjected to our normal public interest review and subsequent action.
Questions of Mr. Snag? Mr. Schick?
So you've looked at the pier, and they can't cut 6 inches off each side.
Well, I'll let the contractors here representing Mr. Shawback, I believe. The 7 foot wide, I'll let them address that. I'm not certain that couldn't be done. I really have looked at the T-head section, and I don't really see how they could reduce the size of that without, you know, jeopardizing really the structural integrity.
But maybe the main stem could be.
Possibly, although I think the pilings there do extend almost out to the edge.
Further questions? Thank you, Ben.
One other question.
Yes, sir. Sure.
Yeah, Habitat Management Subcommittee had dealt with this issue of driving out the end of the pier and how big the end of the pier was, and I think we had recommended that smaller vehicles were to be used, and that just because they wanted to use a larger vehicle doesn't justify a larger dock.
We had a lot of discussion at the staff level about that.
Right.
This particular.
So I'd just like to reiterate that in this,
right.
The gator is not appropriate use for transporting to the end of docks.
We felt, you can see the tracks of the gate.
I mean, it works. Nothing wrong with it as far as functional.
A 6 foot wide would still accommodate this gator, we believe. Maybe you might want to put bumpers, you know, down the side, up raised up 4 or 5 inches. You
see, well, I'm not supposed to go down too.
But, you know, 6 foot wide would still accommodate that gator vehicle, which the gator is basically similar size to a golf
cart. A golf cart. It's not a wide one.
Right. Further questions? Thank you, Ben. Is the applicant present or represented? Yes, sir. Good afternoon. I solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. State your name for the record, please.
Rick Nelms. I'm the contractor that came involved with this after 2005. Prior to that, we were not involved with it. We did not build the pier. Mr. Shawback was supposed to be here today, but he had a back operation, and then he got in a wreck right after that last week, and he's couldn't be here today. So, but anyhow, when my company came involved with this in 2005.
What's the name of your company, sir?
Ryan.
Ryan, okay.
The only thing we had to go off of, the pier was completely destroyed after Isabel, all but the boathouse. The boathouse was there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the pier as it sits right now at the very end was there at the time, other than some small damage. The way we determined to put it back the way it was built in 1995 or after that, whenever it was done, was there were pieces of it laying around in the marsh. So we pulled it out and measured it, and we built it back the way
best you could.
Not only that, to the request of the owner wanted it back the way it was so he could take his gator down. So we came in and rebuilt the pier in 2005, after getting a permit for that. Then it was damaged again, and I think the reason we're here today is because we submitted for a permit, and we were brought in after the Northeaster to repair it. We submitted for the permit, and then when Mr. Stagg came down, that's when we found all these discrepancies. So, I don't know what I could put into this to help other than after the 2005 permit, it was put back based on the same dimensions we had that we could actually recover. And any other questions you may have, I'll be more glad to answer.
Any questions of the gentleman? Mr. Robbins?
Just to clarify, when did you first rebuild it? Did you rebuild it in the wake of Hurricane Isabel or after Norida? When did you
actually rebuild it? 2005 would have been Isabel after it was torn down from Isabel, I believe. Is that correct?
Ernesto was that possible?
Yeah, Ernesto.
So when you first rebuilt it, you were rebuilding it in the wake of one of the hurricanes?
Isabel. Yeah, I don't know how long it had been destroyed. In other words, we didn't come in right after it was destroyed. We were hired to come in, and when we got there, from land all the way to where the boathouse is, it was gone. It was completely destroyed. Pilings and deck and the whole thing. The boathouse with the roof was there. The boat that he had gone up into the roof. It had torn the roof up a little bit, sunk the boat, and tore up all the mechanisms to the boat lifts. And in the process of us rebuilding the pier, we replaced the boat lift and we repaired the damage to the roof, which was very minor. It had a hole poked in it, and it was about 2 foot wide.
I do know that is a rough reach of water right through there. I mean, it's when it flows, it howls through there, no doubt about that. Mr. Schick, your question?
Yeah, so there was no attempt by your company or the owners to pursue what was actually permitted. You were just going off what was there. Didn't contact BMRC to find out a file or to find out what was permitted.
Well, there was a permit issued when we rebuilt it in 2005.
Based on what was previously permitted, not what was previously there.
All right, and my understanding is now, and I didn't know it then, was that at the time it was permitted, originally there was no requirements on the width. In other words, it could have been 8 foot wide. Basically, when we came in, we were presented a permit and said they could build it back under the governor's orders as it was. We pulled the sections out of the marsh and measured it as it was, and that's what we built back.
How much frontage, waterfront frontage, does Mr. Shawback have through there?
He owns about 200 or so acres. It's probably half a mile, three quarters of a mile. It's a very good way area there. Okay. And this particular one, I noticed when you said it gets rough in there, this is the protected side of the river pretty much. Northeastern is the other side.
Yeah, I see
this side just gets a great bill of tide, a lot of tide.
I see one of my favorite structures out there in the middle. Anyway, further questions? Thank you, sir. Anyone here in opposition to the project? Matters before the commission.
I want to make a clarification that even though in 1995 there was no standard of how wide it was, they did make an application saying it was 6 foot wide, went ahead and built it 7 foot wide, and oversized the T-head. That being said, the governor's order does not allow you to build structures that were not originally agreed upon through this commission. But it does seem a little difficult to take back unless you do tear up the whole pier. But I think that in future applications, this matter needs to be revisited as far as the oversized sections when he may want to come back and do some things.
Further comment? Mr. Robbins.
Mr. Chairman, I would concur with Mr. Schick's remarks, and I would just point out that any additional work on the pier is going to be subjected to further public interest review. And so if they want to come back and add anything else, that's going to be have to be permitted and subjected to the public interest considerations. I would just point out that it appears from the testimony that we heard today that the contractor did make some effort to reconcile what he was building with what had previously been there. But I do concur that, as Mr. Schick points out, there should have been a more thorough review of the existing permits, et cetera, prior to beginning that. But I would offer a motion to accept staff's recommendation and approve the existing structure.
Is there a second to the motion? Second by Mr. Lane. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. We will break for lunch at the present time, come back with public comments. Mr. Vice Chairman Holland, what time would you like to reconvene, as I will not be here? 1 o'clock.
Thank you.